Meditation is based on the epistle lesson from Romans 7 that Tom just read. If you remember in J.R.R. Tolkien's classic novel, The Lord of the Rings, Frodo comes to possess the Ring of Power, a terrible ring of corruption and evil made by the Dark Lord Sauron. And Gandalf, a wizard and friend of Frodo, explains to him next to a cozy fireplace that this little golden ring in Frodo's pocket is the most dangerous weapon in the world. And if the Dark Lord were to recover it, all peoples would certainly be enslaved. Well, understandably, Frodo's horrified and suggests simply getting rid of the ring or breaking it somehow. So the following scene occurs. "Try," said Gandalf, "try now." Frodo drew the ring out of his pocket again and looked at it. The gold looked very fair and pure. And Frodo thought, how rich and beautiful was its roundness. When he took it out, he had intended to fling it into the very hottest part of the fire. Now he found he just couldn't do so, not without a great struggle. He weighed the ring in his hand, hesitated, and forcing himself to remember all that Gandalf had told him. And then with an effort of a will, he made the movement to throw it in the fire. But he found that he put it back in his pocket. Even knowing that the fate of everything he knows and loves depends on the ring, Frodo simply cannot bring himself to try and get rid of it. So it is with our sin. We can know that something is killing us, is bringing us further apart from God, of some of the things we do that lure us in. But to just get rid of it, it seems like it's, like with Frodo, it's utterly impossible. The attraction is so big, it's so wonderful, I just can't seem to do it. It becomes a monster within us. Nearly everybody knows of at least one sinful habit in their life that they wish to leave behind. Yet no matter how much they try or what they do, it seems impossible to get rid of this habit, this character flaw, or coping mechanism. You see, our sin cannot be dispelled by our own willpower. Trying harder will not dispel the monster within us. You cannot do it on your own strength. We need something outside of us. And you may be surprised to know that the Apostle Paul struggled with a monster within his own life. In fact, in the epistle reading this morning, the Apostle realizes he's got a bad habit that he keeps doing, although he wants to quit. But like Frodo, he can't seem to pull himself together to throw the ring into the fire or to get rid of the bad habit. The monster's too big. And he knows this monster is real, and its ultimate punishment is death. Paul is at the end of his rope. He wants to be saved from this monster and its consequences in his life. Listen to what Paul says in verse 15. "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I can will what is right, but I can't do it. For I do not do the work good I want, but that," notice this, "the evil I do not want to do is what I keep on doing." Now this is coming from the Apostle Paul. This is the guy that had this big vision. You remember on the road to Damascus? And Jesus came down and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm going to set you up to preach to the Gentiles, and you're going to start churches, and you're going to do great things, and there's going to be signs and wonders that will accompany you." But here he is, like this weak little human being who has this monster. Have you ever been in a situation where you know what the right thing to do is, and you know what the wrong thing to do is, but we do the wrong thing anyway. I think we all have. I know I have. You know, in reading about this deep anguish that the sin is causing Paul, we can't help to see that he has no hope of destroying the monster within him, which are his sinful desires. He's a weak human being who cannot battle the strong sinful desire. And I think it's amazing, because you know what? If this passage were not written in the Bible, I don't know if I could call myself a Christian. Because that's the struggle. And for being such a man of God, how could he be in such a deep struggle? We don't know what specific habit or sin Paul was struggling with or addicted to. But I believe it's intentional. So we can all identify with Paul. Each of us has our own struggle with something that we should not be doing, but we do it anyway. And Paul is admitting he feels powerless over these impulses. He goes on to say, listen to this. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. In other words, the law being God's will. He agrees that God's will is good. Then he says, so it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He says, for nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. That's the sinful nature that we still carry around. I have the desire to do what's right. I don't have the ability to carry it out. At first glance, you might think, well, Paul, you're just trying to pass the buck here, aren't you? You're not taking responsibility for your action. Like in our culture today, somebody else is to blame. Somebody else did it. I'm the victim. Isn't that what we hear today? No one steps up to take responsibility for their own actions. What Paul is saying here, that even in a believer, we still have those seeds of rebellion in sin. It's not that he's trying to escape responsibility for his own actions. He's just making a statement, the power of this monster that's in us that can grab us and take us under. Now, some people have tried to explain this passage, and scholars say, well, this was Paul writing before he was a Christian. Seriously? How can a Christian say, I delight in the law of God? I want to do God's will. A non-Christian, they're living in sin. They're dead in sin. They're not even aware of the monster within them. No. Paul is speaking here as a born-again believer who delights in the law of God but struggles with sin. And this is the hard truth of the Christian life. And when you think about it, sometimes we just pick our sin of choice. The monster of sin within us does its best to make sure the destructive side wants to take over. That's the daily struggle. So how in the world does this monster get such a firm grip on so many of God's people, like Paul? It begins maybe with a wonderful peak experience. You seek to repeat it again and again, and after a while, the emotional craving of that experience, that euphoria, lures you away, and then you fall into it. Then the monster begins to take over. So that you need that more and more in your life. And sometimes things seem like they're spinning out of control. You need more and more of the experience because you or your body has developed a tolerance for this monster, and then it begins to enslave you. So what do we do? How do we resolve this issue with this monster within us? Well, here's what Paul says. Paul finally throws his arms up. And in verse 24, he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He realizes that he's got two things going on here. He's born again through baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there's that old nature that's still there trying to lure him back in to those bad habits. And here's his answer. and it's our answer. I love this. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What Paul is saying here is that he needs power beyond himself to free him from the monster of sin that we still carry around. And this is the power of Christ in us through our baptism, which every day through the Holy Spirit crushes that monster and frees us to serve our living Lord. Martin Luther said that the Christian life is one of continual repentance and faith through one's entire life. It's not a one-time event. Like I come to Jesus one time and that's it. No, because we still carry this sinful nature on, it's a daily wrestling. Repentance is daily confessing our sins, admitting, like Paul, nothing is good in us and we need God's forgiveness and strength. That's what slays the old Adam. That's when we can go to Satan and say, get away from me. I have been baptized. I have been claimed by God. And you know what? Luther did the same thing. When he was overcome by temptation and sin, he would stand up and say out loud, say it, I am baptized. Let's have everybody say it.
I am baptized.
Amen. You are claimed by God. We can't overcome our own sin. Jesus did it for us. By his death on the cross, he was damned by God the Father, and all our monsters of sin were laid on him. And he rose from the grave to give us new life, to make us a new person through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus who fights the monster within us. We can't. And now really, for you and me, the Christian life is kind of like a boxing match, where we're daily in that ring, and we slay that old monster by the power of the Holy Spirit and rise to a new person in the image of Jesus. And oh, when we fall again, and yeah, we're going to surely fall again, we can't not sin, because that old monster's not going to be gone until the resurrection. Boy, I look forward to it. You know, sometimes I wonder, wouldn't it be nice? What if we'd like to have no sinful nature? Just, wow! To be like what it was with Adam and Eve. Perfect righteousness. That's coming and that's promised. You see, because what Jesus did on the cross in his resurrection from the dead, the monster's power to condemn us no longer threatens the Christian. Hear this again. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that monster within you has no power to condemn you. Hear what Paul says in Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ. And understand this too. Our salvation is not measured by our experience. Because sometimes, I know I do, I feel distinctly dirty. I mean, I'm just, the sin clings to me sometimes like fleas. But I know it's by faith and hope in Jesus, by what he has done. He has cleansed me and he has cleansed you. So that's why we daily die to that old monster within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel and gives us, enlightens us with his gifts, and shows us more and more the life of Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And here's the key. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Eyes on Jesus. He is the one who conquers that old monster within us. So brothers and sisters, are you burdened this morning by that monster within? Do you carry around a load of guilt, shame, anxiety, struggling with lust, fear, worry, doubt, sickness, whatever it is. Jesus comes to you in our gospel this morning and says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. He's promised you rest for your souls. So, old monster, you're dead. Jesus is alive. Greater is Jesus' love for you than any monster within you. And you can say with Paul, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.